Serve as a hearing officer for this hearing. I'll be issuing recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a recommended order to the Public Service Commission. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-19-369. This hearing here today is on an application of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation for a certificate of site compatibility regarding the Robinson Lake Oil Conditioning Facility Expansion Program project. The expansion project will increase the facility's oil conditioning capacity from about 45,000 barrels per day to 65,000 barrels per day. The facility is located approximately 7.9 miles northeast of Newtown in Montrail County. Let the record show that it is March 30th, 2020, and or 2 past 10 a.m. at the Teddy's Residential Suites in Newtown, North Dakota. This is the time, date, and place set by a notice of filing and notice of public hearing issued by the North Dakota Public Service Commission on February 5, 2020. The issues today are on the notice of filing and notice of hearing, and the first issue is, will the location and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? The second issue is, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And number three is, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environment impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that the energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? The first item of business is to make appearances. Would you do that, Mr. Mann?
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Wade Mann, appearing on behalf of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation.
And your witnesses today?
I will have two witnesses testify today. Phil Archer will testify with respect to the project, some of the safety and spill response type issues, and then Bill McCarthy will address environmental, cultural, natural resource related issues.
Okay, Mr. Johnson.
Brian Johnson, legal with PSC.
Okay, and you have somebody with us telephonically from the PSC as well?
I believe Adam Redfant is on the phone as well.
Adam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And you're an engineer, or what's your role with the PSC?
I'm an analyst with the PSC.
Okay. And you'll participate today? There's no objection to that? He can ask questions? And
no objection. No.
Okay. Well, there's nobody here for public testimony at present, so I'll skip that portion of it. And if somebody shows up, I'll give him instructions as to that. Are there any preliminary opening remarks, matters, or motions, Mr. Mann?
Your Honor, I don't have any opening statement or open remarks. I'd just like to address exhibits. I've got an exhibit list that I handed out to you and Mr. Johnson. There's 10 exhibits I intend to offer at the hearing today. I had previously discussed with Mr. Johnson, and it's my understanding that he would be agreeable to stipulation up front to each of these exhibits.
Mr. Johnson.
That is correct. I would stipulate.
Okay. Well, so I'll also mark the exhibits 1 through 10, and they've been offered and now are admitted into the record. I think at this time, Mr. Mann, you can call your first witness.
First witness will be Phil Archer.
Mr. Archer?
Yes.
Okay. You probably hear us very clearly, but you, because of the way the phone lines work here, are coming in a little weak to us. So please speak up and get as close as possible to the speaker when you speak, or perhaps even pick up the headset if you're in a position where you can do that. We'll give you a little feedback on that as we go if we have difficulty understanding you. Is it Phil? Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, my proper name is Philip, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, Archer, A-R-C-H-E-R. Okay. I typically go by Phil.
Okay. I'm required by law to tell you the penalties for perjury in this state. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a fine of up to $10,000 or a term of imprisonment of up to 5 years. Do you understand what perjury is and the penalties for it?
Yes, I do.
Understanding so, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Mann, you may begin.
Phil, can you go ahead and let us know by whom you're employed and give us your business address?
Yes. I'm an employee of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation. My business address is 1700 Lincoln, Suite 4700, Denver, Colorado, 80203.
And Phil, what is your position with Whiting?
My title is Facilities Engineering Advisor, and I focus on midstream.
And can you briefly give us your educational background and summarize your work experience?
Yes. I have a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering from Oklahoma State University. I have a Master's of Business Administration from the University of Utah. I'm a registered professional engineer in the state of Colorado. I have over 29 years of midstream oil and gas experience with multiple operating companies, and specifically my expertise includes gas processing, oil conditioning, gas compression, and gas capture.
And what are your primary duties and responsibilities with Whiting?
I am in the midstream commercial group at Whiting, and I'm an engineering project developer for midstream for Whiting.
Okay. And Phil, we're here today to site the Robinson Lake Oil Conditioning Facility. And before we get into the specific details of that project, could you just give us some general background on oil conditioning facilities, what they do, why they're necessary?
Certainly, yes. So the oil conditioning facility, the subject oil conditioning facility at Robinson Lake reduces the vapor pressure of oil gathered in the Sanish field. And so Whiting has determined that it's to their advantage to remove vapors from the oil at a central location rather than removing all of the vapors at every individual well site. This is both energy efficient and labor efficient to do that work at a central facility. So the oil conditioning facility maximizes the capture of removed vapors by directing those into the inlet of the Robinson Lake gas plant, which is adjacent.
And Phil, can you give us a brief description of the existing facility?
Existing facility is 7.9 miles northeast of Newtown. They're in Montreal County. As I mentioned, it's directly adjacent to the Robinson Lake gas plant. It sits on the north side of that plant. The existing facilities at the oil conditioner include heaters, a separator vessel, oil pumps, compression for the vapors that are removed from the oil. There is a heat exchanger, there is a flare, and there are drain tanks. And lastly, the current capacity of the system today is approximately 45,000 barrels per day.
Okay. And then could you give us a brief description of the proposed expanded facility?
Yes. Yeah, the expanded facility will not include any changes to the existing process itself. So there, it will just include additional equipment. So there will be basically in addition, we have potential for another heater, potential for another oil pump, the potential for another vapor compressor, the potential for another heat exchanger as well.
And what would that put the potential capacity up to with those additions?
Whiting would like to have the capability to handle 65,000 barrels per day of oil at this facility in the future.
And could you just touch on the need for that additional capacity?
Yes, the need for the additional capacity is continued development of the Spanish field, that the oil from that field is gathered by the Spanish Robinson Lake oil gathering system. That oil gathering system gathers oil for delivery at a central location to Plains. There's a Plains facility also adjacent. So the oil conditioner is there right before the Plains delivery for vapor control.
Sure. And Phil, can you briefly describe the operation of the oil conditioning facility? And if you need to reference anything, any diagrams or anything within the application, let us know that as well.
Yes. I'd like to reference Appendix A in the application, which is a process flow sketch.
Can you just take
something that those present can pull up and look at?
Yep.
Okay. So when you've got that drawing ready, let me know.
B as in boy?
A.
Oh, it's apple. Got it.
I think you can go ahead, Phil.
All right. All right, I'll do that. On the lower left of the drawing, there is an inlet arrow which contains the wording from oil. And so that is oil coming in from the Robinson Lake Sanish oil gathering system. The first thing to take note of is that oil can immediately bypass the oil conditioner, not even enter the oil conditioner, and just exit that same drawing just in a arrow marked oil to pipeline. So the oil conditioner is ready and available at all times to condition oil that's from the Spanish field on its way to delivery to Plains. So as you go into the facility, you'll see a diamond, it's one, which is the design conditions for that point. And so I reference the stream table down in the lower right, and under column one there, you can see the liquid flow barrels per day design of 65,000 barrels per day. So that's the expanded design capacity that we're referencing here. That oil comes into the system there at point one in the winter at approximately 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So that oil is not going to be very likely at that condition to release its vapors. So oil continues into the facility and goes upward on the drawing through an exchanger marked as E1000. That exchanger basically conserves heat from the oil that is leaving the facility, and it preheats the oil that's entering the facility. So as you can see in diamond two, in this design condition, oil will be heated up to around 66 degrees at that point, diamond two. At that point, oil will enter the heater section, which is marked there's two existing heaters, H1100 and H1200. Those will be reconfigured with the addition of a new heater, H1300. So oil will go through either heater 1100 or either heater 1300, and then will recombine and go through heater 1200. So that oil will have the benefit of heat from three different heaters once this facility is fully expanded. The whole point of that heating and heat exchanger exercise was to get the oil up to a temperature shown in stream three, which at that point it's roughly 104 degrees. That condition can vary, but roughly 100 degrees plunge that's needed to release the vapors from the oil at that point. I should also point out the pressure at that point has been reduced dramatically. So the pressure at point three is one PSIG, one pound gauge pressure. So by heating the oil to roughly 100 degrees at basically atmospheric pressure, that is the conditions which will release heavy gases and NGLs that have been trapped in that oil. So this vessel V2000 at that point releases the vapors upward in what is now shown as stream 7. Those vapors preferentially go to a compression system, which is shown with vessel V3000 and compressor 3010. And then that gas, now that it's back up to pressure, goes to a cooler, air cooler 3010, and then goes to the front of the Robinson Lake gas plant, where it comes in as inlet gas and is then processed and captured. If the compressor is out of service temporarily, that same gas can be flared. And it is shown here as unit FL5000 is the flare for those vapors if that compressor is not in service. Now let's go back to V2000 for what happened to the oil. So V2000, the central separator, the oil has now had its vapors released, but it's at very low pressure. It can't get into the pipeline. So the oil comes out the bottom, stream 4, goes through a series of pumps. There are two pumps today, pump 2010 and pump 2020. The expansion includes the addition of a new pump, 2030, so a third pump. So then out of that pump, you will go through the heat exchanger again, E1000, give back as much of that heat as possible, since it's not valuable in the delivery to planes. And then that oil exits the system. Now, there's one aspect of the expansion I didn't mention yet, so I'll mention it now, is that there are some of the existing control valves that are causing restrictions in the existing system. And so if you go back to the inlet of the system and you look at the diamond one, where the oil has come into the system, continue further right, you will eventually see, before the line turns upward, a flow control valve, SCV, that's marked as new. There is an existing valve there, but it is so small that it is causing part of the limit of 45,000 barrels per day is caused by that valve. There is another valve that is going to be replaced downstream of the pumping units. So if you look just to the left of pumps 2010, 2020, and 2030, that's also shown as a new valve. There is an existing valve there that is small and is part of the limit of the current system. So that replacement of those two valves with larger valves is part of the expansion that Whiting plans to undertake after this hearing is successfully results in an order. So, Wade, that's as far as I plan to get into this drawing, unless there's specific questions.
Yeah, thank you. That was helpful, Phil. Let's move on now then. Can you give us the status of ownership of the land that's to be used for this project?
Yes, Whiting owns the land that this current facility is built on. And so there's nothing that has to happen there.
Sure. And do you have an anticipated construction start date?
We plan to start construction after equipment is received. That equipment, some of which is long lead time. So we won't be able to start construction till the earliest after the order is received late spring of 2020.
And did you have an anticipated in-service date you were looking at?
The earliest point where parts of this expansion could be implemented is the summer of 2020.
Okay. And what's the estimated cost of the project?
All the aspects that I described, all the expansion aspects, total to $1.2 million.
And Phil, will the project be constructed in compliance with applicable safety laws and standards?
Yes. Yeah, industry standards include OSHA, ASME, and API standards. For post-construction testing, the welds will be X-rayed, piping will undergo pressure tests, and the electric wiring will undergo electrical inspections.
And, Phil, will Whiting comply with the terms of the certification relating to order provisions from the Public Service Commission?
Yes.
And will the oil conditioning facility contain a monitoring system?
Facility is equipped with automatic shutdowns and call-out alarms that are related to pressure, temperature, and level deviations. And I should also point out that the facility is visually inspected on a daily basis for leaks and any abnormal operations.
Sure. And will the Whiting personnel that are responsible for this facility be trained in emergency response procedures?
Yes.
And does Whiting have an emergency response plan in place for the project?
Yes, Whiting uses the Whiting Corporate Emergency Response Plan for this facility.
I have no further questions for Mr. Archer at this time.
Mr. Johnson.
This might be applicable to you or not, but who owns the adjacent land to the existing facility?
Wade, I can take that, or we can defer that to E3.
If you know, Phil, that's fine. You can go ahead and address it.
We have a list that is of the adjacent landowners within a half mile. Off the top of my head, I don't have that list memorized, but we did send letters to each of those landowners, and we received responses from every landowner except for the current owner of the gas plant, which is the gas plant that Whiting used to own, I should point out.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions?
No further questions.
Mr. Renfant, do you have any questions?
Yeah, when do you anticipate this facility will reach maximum capacity?
That's a tough question to answer at this point. The current pricing situation with oil and gas prices, not only in North Dakota but in the world, have Whiting reevaluating our schedules on a regular basis. So the earliest possible date would be late 2020, and it's more likely that the facility would not reach full capacity until a year or two out into the future based on current forecast world oil prices.
Okay. Does this project require any county weed permits?
I'll defer that.
One from Montreal County is pending. Is that correct?
Bill, this is Wade. If Bill McCarthy can better answer that, that's fine. I think you do have a building permit that you've submitted into the record, but If you can address it, fine. If not, let Bill.
But the telephone line was unclear. I thought you said a county weed permit, and so I thought I was going to refer that to others. As far as a county building permit, yes, there has been a county building permit obtained for this project.
Okay. And then one last question here. The Department of Environmental Quality made a few recommendations in a November 1st, 2019 letter with regards to construction and their environmental disturbance requirements. Is Whiting prepared to follow these recommendations in the construction of the facility?
Yes.
Okay. No more questions for me.
I have a few questions. You said this is electronically monitored?
That's right, yes.
And is that on-site or off-site?
It is technically both. It's not a manned facility, but our facility directly across the main road to the west is manned 24/7 and monitors the facility there.
So they have a control screen or something that they see if there's a reduction in pressure or the flare goes off or whatever the case may be?
Absolutely, yes. And it's fairly straightforward for them to visually monitor as well, because since they can step right outside the door and see the facility and visually observe the flare.
Does the new construction increase the height of anything? When you look at, let's say, the viewscape of the gas processing plant, will it look taller?
No, it will not. It will appear to be the same height. The flare is the tallest item on site, and there is not a plan to change that flare at this point or provide an additional flare at this point.
Will the sound signature change at all? Will it sound louder, higher pitched, or anything like that?
No, it will not. The loudest equipment on site will not be changed. That is the fuel supply, where we are utilizing high-pressure pipeline gas. It comes into the facility and is let down in pressure. That is the loudest item, and it will not change.
Do you have fire equipment on site as part of your response plan? Do you have fire equipment?
We do not. I should clarify. We don't have fixed a water system, but we do have hand fire extinguishers that we could use for incipient fires. Very basic, but yeah, the basics of our plan, as I understand it, is that Whiting is not to use employees for fighting large fires.
So you have contact with the local emergency management, and then they would come out if there was a catastrophic failure of some sort?
Yes, that is correct. We would use the local emergency services for that.
Okay. No further questions. Mr. Mann, any further questions?
Your Honor, I don't have any further questions for Mr. Archer. I guess if there aren't any questions, or do you have
no further questions?
I just request just a real, real short break to just touch base with the client.
Certainly.
Move on to Mr. McCarthy.
Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break or whenever you come back.
Sounds good. Thank you.
say your exhibits run when I spray them with Lysol. I'm kidding. We were joking ahead of time, anybody listening, about me being a little more fastidious than the other people in the room, but we'll go on. Well, we're back on the record, and it is 10:35 Central Time, and Mr. Mann, you may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll call Bill McCarthy.
Mr. McCarthy.
Yes, sir.
I'm required by law to tell you the penalties for perjury in this state. Were you listening in when I read them to Mr. Archer?
Yes, sir.
So, you understand what perjury is and the penalties for it?
Yes, sir.
Understanding so, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mann, you may begin.
Bill, can you state your name for the record and give us your business address?
William McCarthy, 871 Jefferson Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55102.
Bill, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by E3 Environmental, and I am a project manager and president of the company.
Okay. And Bill, could you describe your qualifications with respect to environmental projects and permitting?
Yes, sir. I'm a senior environmental compliance analyst that provides technical services to the energy industry. I've done so for over 20 years. I have experience guiding clients through the full range of projects involving federal, state, and local regulations. I have managed the preparation of environmental documents and applications for over 25 projects that fall under the purview of the Public Service Commission.
Okay, and Bill, go ahead and just briefly touch on your education experience and your duties and responsibilities at E3.
Yes, sir. I went to Michigan State University, received my Bachelor of Science in Wildlife Biology with a minor in Fisheries Biology. I then attended the University of Minnesota, where I received a Master's of Science in Wildlife Biology and a minor in Toxicology. I have 20 plus years of industry experience, and my role here at E3 is with regulatory compliance tendered to clients in the energy industry.
And Bill, were you the one primarily responsible for conducting the environmental review on this project and for preparation of the application?
Yes, sir.
And were you also responsible for preparation of the natural resources and cultural resources reports to the commission?
Yes, sir. I coordinated the field work and subsequent report preparation, which details the results of each field survey.
And you're here today to address the environmental and cultural resource matters pertaining to this project, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and identify the study area for the project?
I am going to reference Appendix B of the application. Appendix B has a map of the project area and the study area. The first map is the one I'm going to use. In the center of the map is the project site proper, and it's surrounded by a 1 mile buffer, which would be our study area.
And Bill, has a cultural resource investigation been completed for the project?
Yes, sir. It was conducted in two phases. The first phase is a Class 1 inventory. A Class 1 inventory is a study of previous surveys and results that occurred within the study area. This was followed by a Class 3 inventory, and a Class 3 inventory is an actual pedestrian survey of the project site proper. These results can be found in Appendix E, E as in elephant, of the unredacted application.
Sure. And then could you summarize for us the results of the cultural resource investigation?
Yes, sir. To be succinct, there was nothing found. The Class 3 survey was completed, the results of which did not produce any newly recorded resources within the project site. The Class 1 inventory found that there were approximately 10 previous studies conducted within the study area, ranging in dates from 1995 to 2018. Further, the Class 1 inventory notes that there are five previously recorded cultural artifacts within the study area, none of which are within the project site, and none of which would be impacted by the project. These previously recorded resources include one unevaluated site lead, one unevaluated prehistoric stone feature, and three resources, one prehistoric and two historic, that have been characterized as not eligible for listing on the National Register of Historic Places. These results can be found in the report contained in Appendix E of the unredacted application.
And Bill, did the SHPO concur with your recommendation with respect to these sites?
Yes, sir. The North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, or SHPO, was consulted. Our results were summarized and reported to them, which included a recommendation of no historic properties affected by the project. The SHPO concurred with our finding and our recommendations in a letter dated October 23, 2019. In Appendix C, we've included our SHPO concurrence letter.
Let's move on then. Has a wetland and water body delineation been completed for the project?
Yes, sir. A wetland water body delineation was completed for the project site. The results have been compiled into a report located in Appendix D, as in David.
And can you summarize the results of the delineation for us?
The field survey of the site confirmed the absence of wetlands and water body features within the project site proper.
Okay. And what about, what studies were completed with regard to biological resources?
Additional biological studies included a threatened and endangered species survey, a raptor nest survey, tree and shrub inventory, and a noxious and invasive weed inventory. The results of these surveys were as follows. The threatened and endangered species survey found no listed species nor suitable habitat to support listed species within the project site proper. The raptor nest survey was also negative. No raptor nests were observed within a 1/2 mile line of sight, and a review of the North Dakota Game and Fish database for recorded eagle nests found that there are no known eagle nests within 10 miles of the project site. The tree and shrub inventory was also negative. No trees or shrubs were recorded within the project site proper. Finally, the noxious and invasive weed inventory did find approximately 1.2 acres of Canada thistle found around the perimeter of the project site.
And Bill, are there any exclusion areas described by North Dakota law and regulation that will be impacted by the project?
No, sir.
And are there any avoidance areas as described by North Dakota law and regulation that will be impacted by the project?
No. not within the project site proper. However, to clarify, within the study area, as I mentioned in my previous testimony, there are historic resources that do not meet the exclusion area criteria. These resources are sufficient distance from the project and its associated activities that they will remain unaffected.
And Bill, with respect to the Public Service Commission's selection criteria, will there be any adverse impacts from the project?
No, sir.
And has Whiting maximized the benefits set forth in the Public Service Commission's policy criteria?
Yes, sir.
And are there any other permits or authorizations necessary for the project? And if there are, can you just touch on the status of those permits or authorizations?
Sure. An air permit is pending, and it will be addressed once the actual equipment has been purchased, and it's based on type and size of the equipment and its potential to be a source of emissions. So that is a pending permit based on future orders. The North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality, there are no permits because for construction water purposes, we are exempt, less than 1 acre, and we fall under the oil and gas exemption. We will not impact waters of the state. And the Montreal County building permit, as previously testified, has been issued for the project.
Bill, what about mitigation measures that Whiting has undertaken to minimize any environmental impacts?
Yes, sir. The development of the project at an existing facility significantly reduces the environmental impacts.
Okay. And Bill, to date, have any local, state, or federal agencies objected to the project?
No, sir. No objections to the project have been received from any commenting agency.
And Bill, you touched on your experience with respect to these projects and your background in this area. In your opinion, is the project designed in such a manner that its location, construction, and operation will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment, welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes, sir.
And in your opinion, will the project be compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources?
Yes, sir.
And will the project's location minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity?
Yes, sir.
And in your opinion, will its operation ensure that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions for Mr. McCarthy at this time.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. Mr. McCarthy, is the current stormwater runoff system going to be adequate during construction, or is there going to be disturbance that's going to require additional stormwater runoff measures?
It's my understanding that the facility and the work that's planned will all be contained within the existing facility. The ground disturbing activities associated with this project are relatively minor, and that the existing stormwater system will be adequate and unaffected by the proposed activity.
Okay. You also mentioned in the map identifies the noxious weeds, the Canada thistle. Is there a plan in place at this time to address the noxious weed issue on site?
Yes, sir. It's my understanding that Whiting has contracted with a vendor for weed control purposes.
Thank you. No further questions.
This is Judge Dawson. I had really one question. It relates to the letters that were sent out. You sent out a letter to FSA, and I have not seen that before. I was wondering, just out of curiosity, what would FSA, the Farm Services Agency, ever have to say about conditioning plant?
Yes, sir. The FSA was included out of an abundance of being thorough. And in the past, we've had projects where there was new property acquired that was potentially under FSA oversight. Usually agricultural land set aside under conservation measures. So you are correct in your assumption that there's very little likelihood of an FSA interaction associated with an existing facility. But again, they were consulted out of an abundance of being thorough.
I don't have any.
Oh, Mr. Renfen.
Yes, can you hear me? Am I coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Would you be willing to file with the commission any outstanding permits prior to construction?
This is Bill McCarthy responding to the PSC's analyst question. Yes, we would file any permit that we secure for the project. We would file those with the PSC as those were gained.
Okay, great. And would you also be willing to file any kind of noxious weed control plan with the commission?
I essentially believe it's been filed, but... We can include essentially a brief plan summarizing the contract obligations that we've engaged in.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Those are all the questions I have.
Mr. Mayo.
I have no additional questions.
Are there any additional questions, Mr. Johnson?
No additional questions.
Okay. Hearing no additional questions, we'll take a 5-minute break again. Or?
Yeah, if I could just touch.
Okay. Okay, we'll take a 5-minute or shorter break and wait for your return. We're back on the record, and it is approximately 10:55 a.m. Mr. Mann, do you have any further witnesses?
I do not, Your Honor.
Okay, is there anything else that needs to come before me or be added to the record at this time? Mr. Mann?
Your Honor, not in my opinion. I think we've covered everything.
Mr. Johnson?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, we have a public portion of the hearing now, but there's nobody in the room, and I'm just going to just peek out the door and come back, and so there'll be like a minute break here, but I want to make absolutely sure that if there's somebody from the public, they aren't in the room across the way or somewhere around. I have checked the hallway and looked across the hallway where the meetings are usually held, and there's nobody in that room, and so there's nobody from the public here that has appeared to testify, so we can move on to closing remarks. Are there any closing remarks that either party has?
Your Honor, I don't have any closing remarks for this project.
Okay.
None for me, Your Honor.
I would suspect so. And then what we'll do is, are you going to prepare proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order?
I will do so, Your Honor.
Do you need 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
2 weeks, it should be.
So April 13th? And could you provide that to me in Word format?
Certainly.
Okay. Are there any other matters that we need to discuss here? Are there any late filed exhibits or... It seems like everything was covered here today and there were no left open questions, but either of you see anything?
Yes, he said.
Well, then I'm inclined to close this hearing. It is 11:57 a.m. on March 30th, 2020, and the hearing numbered PU 19-369 on the application of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation for a certificate of site compatibility is closed, and the record is closed as well. Oh, sorry. A correction, it is 10:57. So We are done, and the hearing is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.